On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
You've waited all week, and now the wait is over. It's the only unfiltered media podcast in America. This is Trash Talk on WEEI.com. Here he is, your boy, Blind Mike. Blind Mike.
And here we go. Good Thursday morning, one and all. And thank you for getting up with us on ESPN. We're ready to go.
Get the fuck out of here, Greg.
That's Jalen. No.
This is my show, goddammit. Mark Jackson is going to join the party. Hello, everybody. Trash Talk. Did you like that intro?
Yeah, it's good. Ron did a good job.
Like it, right? You know, people have been saying, Mike, you're the voice of the streets. You're the voice of the people. You know, you got a real urban vibe to you. You need a hip-hop type of intro.
Who said that?
Everyone's saying it.
Oh, really?
Everyone's saying, Mike, you're the face of hip-hop.
Oh.
You are us, is what they say in the streets, as I pass by and I say thank you, folks. And so I felt, you know, my boy DJ Ronnie Ruff had to make me a nice hip hop intro.
Yeah, he could have put my name in.
Really
there.
Make I this mean, thing pop. You know. No. I like to oppress you. I like to keep you down.
Right.
Really let you know what your role is here.
Yeah.
You know? Push the buttons and let me go.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I want to touch on something we got into last week a little bit. I also want to apologize. Last week's episode was real dog shit. Oof, I did not come with energy last week. Dan was good. I'll give him that. That's how you know things were topsy-turvy.
Well, thanks.
Dan was on his game.
I am the star of
this program. Dan was on his game. People loved him.
The people of Reddit have spoken.
People of Reddit love him. And I was horse shit last week. They got me rattled. The Redditors got me rattled. But I'm back with vim and vigor this week. I want to get into something we touched on last week, and that is our boy Freddie T across the street. Fred Tutcher, we talked last week about how they accused Minahan of ripping off Howard Stern. So I'm scrolling through Twitter, and Dan, you're slightly younger than me. I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember Howard Stern doing a bit in the 90s, I think, probably? Maybe even the 80s he did it, called Stripper Jeopardy.
No, but it sounds like something that he would do.
Right, of course. You know, maybe 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's definitely before my time, Mike.
Yes, yeah. I mean, honestly, before mine too, really. And but the gist of the bit was you'd have, you know, dumber airheads. You know, you'd find strippers that weren't, not saying that's all of them, but that was ones that in particular weren't very knowledgeable on certain issues.
Right.
Now, in 2018, I'm scrolling through Twitter and I see at Tutcher and Rich tweet out, coming up next, Townie Jeopardy. And now you might be thinking, maybe it's not exactly what it seems. Well, it's one guy from the North Shore and one guy from the South Shore squaring off in fucking Boston Trivia Guy. Yeah, it's as hacky as it sounds. But my favorite part was, can you guess what the buzzers were? Do you want to guess what they used for buzzers? Now on Jeopardy, they buzz in to
right.
give their answer. Do you know what their version of a buzzer was?
They no.
crack a fucking beer.
Oh.
Not just any beer. A fucking Gansett guy. They're cracking Gansetts. That's how they buzz in.
And that's the mass hole beer?
Fucking awesome,
dude. Named after a Rhode Island beach, and it's brewed in New York.
Oh, it's funny you say... yeah, right. It's funny you say mass hole, because that was one of the categories.
Right.
Mass hole eats, or whatever the fuck it was. It's like, really, you're going to call up Minahan a hack and say he's stealing from Stern, and then a week later, think no one's going to notice that you're doing Townie Jeopardy. And not only that, but doing it in the most hack way. So I listened to it, obviously. I couldn't stomach the whole bit, so I can't tell you whether or not Pasta Joe won. But I can tell you that during the 5 minutes I listened, they had Sarge, my boy Mike Sarge Riley, who I like. Give a Sarge salute out to him. But they had him on they just made fun of him. And they made fun of the guys they had in. So in 5 minutes, they completely debunked the idea that they're not ripping off Stern and they don't have infighting. I listened for 5 minutes this morning, and I found out those were both lies. So, Kirk, I think you're not only your reputation, but your spot at number one, pretty safe, my friend.
You mean number three?
Yes, behind Hillman, behind the great Hillman. I thought someone on Twitter said that Hillman does that Townie Jeopardy bit. You're here to say that's not true.
No, we've never done that. I mean, we do I guess the similar thing that we do is like LB on history. when Greg.
Oh, that's totally.
Greg
total
asks like,
because LB's a character. That's like doing the Battle of the Brainless.
Yeah,
those are characters on the show.
Right,
they had actual people, like contestants in.
No, we don't. We don't do like call in trivia questions or anything
that. Yeah. Well, because it's not 1985.
Right,
and Hillman knows that. Minahan knows that, but Freddie T, the king of radio, apparently does not know that. So I just wanted to touch base on that, because last week I had to defend Minahan, but I had no real evidence because I hadn't listened to Toucher and Rich in a while. Today I did. I did some quick investigating, and Jesus Christ. If that's a representation of their show, that's embarrassing. 1986 radio? Towny Jeopardy guy! It's funny, we're from fucking Southie, we're cracking gansets, and we're answering masshole trivia. Fucking awesome, dude. Yeah, that's cool. That was a funny bit 30 years ago. So anyways, today, other than that, there's a bit of a theme. We want to touch on all three. Well, I'm sorry, Dan, but hockey I don't count as one of the major sports. The three major sports.
It is, but okay, sure.
The three major sports and their booths. We've got NBA and Jeff Van Gundy, I think, had a great week this week. Monday Night Football announced their booth and bringing up the rear, our boy Johnny Gomes. But we'll start with Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, and Mike. Is the play-by-play guy's name Mike Breen?
Yes.
Okay, he's such a boy. I always forget his name. I don't know why. I've heard him for years now, doing the primetime games, the NBA, and I always forget his fucking name, Mike Breen. So that booth is interesting because Jeff Van Gundy is great.
The Cavs eye roll each other more than a couple in a bad marriage.
It's, I mean, again, you know, a 1985 line, but, you know, not bad. That for what play-by-play and color commentary has become, not a bad line by Van Gundy. But just the insight to say that. To say that the Cavs are eye-rolling each other. Most guys, especially at ESPN, don't bash LeBron like that. They kiss his ass. They're not going to tell you when the Cavs are doing petty little shit like that. So I thought Van Gundy did very good. There was one play where Jaylen Brown drove to the hole, and he said LeBron's got to take some tips from Jaylen. You don't hear that a lot. I like Jaylen Brown a lot. I'm sorry, I like Jeff Van Gundy a lot. I like Jaylen Brown also. But Mark Jackson is a real bore. Every time Van Gundy got slightly interesting, why are you saying that, Jeff? Oh, of course you got to be negative. Of course you got to be negative, Jeff. And it's like, I guess maybe that's their thing. They think they've got a Shaq Barkley back and forth, that they have to be adversarial. But it's like, hey, Van Gundy's running circles around you here, Mark, as far as analysis. Do you think Mark Jackson wants to just kill himself every time he watches a Warriors game?
I mean, every time he like says anything, it's kind of like, how are you a coach?
Well, he wasn't. That's the thing. Well, apparently he was. It's amazing to me that he had that team.
Right.
Which will go down as, you know, one of the greatest teams ever when they're done, you would think.
Oh, yeah.
Celtics, Bulls, Spurs.
Well, this run that they're on, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, they're about to win three out of four, and they're probably going to win the next couple.
The Warriors are this generation's dynasty, or will be,
yeah,
when it's all said and done. And Mark Jackson had that team.
Right.
And couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
An embarrassment. And it's just so, just the contrast between him and Jeff Van Gundy. All Mark Jackson really brings, he had a couple good points that he brought up. But all he really said that interested me was how every time Van Gundy would bring up a point, he would say, why you got to be so negative, Jeff? And then the one that really got me was Mike Breen.
Coach always talks about to make a mislead.
Yeah. Mike Breen also got in on the Boar Fest. When did you hear the fuck you, J.R. Smith chant?
Yeah.
Fuck you, J.R. Always. Anytime an F-bomb can get on network television, I love it. I'm a child in that way. That really gets me off, hearing naughty words on TV. So the fuck you J.R. Smith, I mean the fuck you J.R. chant is going on around the garden. And Van Gundy,
you can't
my
say
boy,
definitely.
No, this is a definite.
It should be.
Now, here's that.
There's a anti-obscene J.R. Smith.
I like
chant.
When you say that. You soften it so much, Mike.
Well, I want to keep my job.
I understand that.
Anyway,
I don't really expect play-by-play guys to bring the pizzazz, if
no,
you will.
No,
you know, if they're dry and boring, fine.
Yeah. Mike Breen is fine because You're right. His job is not to be spectacular. The problem I have with Dave O'Brien is that's a two-man booth, usually.
Right.
So when Dave O'Brien just makes cornball jokes, it's like, hey, get out of the way, Dave. But Mike Breen's job is not to be insightful. It's to call the game. And he's got a good voice. He does a good job at that. So the third man should be, it shouldn't be Jeff Van Gundy tap dancing and spinning plates to make things interesting. But my problem with Mike Breen in that clip is purely that Jeff Van Gundy's right. There's a middle ground between losing your job and saying, oh, they appear to be saying fuck in the crowd. They're yelling the word fuck repeatedly. You don't have to say that, because obviously that'll get in trouble. But you also don't have to, oh my, break into a cold sweat. Oh my, they appear to be saying an obscene, oh, a no-no word. I'm a 50-year-old man that's terrified of cursing. It's just weird that we make adults act like that. And I get why Mike Breen is like that. But it's just like, we're adults. We can't all acknowledge what's obviously happening. Silliness. But Jeff Van Gundy, great job. He's probably the best play-by-play. I mean, I'm sorry, the best color guy in basketball, would you say? I kind of like Reggie Miller.
I mean, he's no Tommy.
Well, I'm excluding local talent. Oh. You know what, since you brought that up?
National.
What I'm praying is that whenever Tommy decides to step down, which hopefully he's got plenty of years left in him, but, I mean, if you just look at the guy. He can't possibly. But whenever Tommy's done, I know that they're going to go with Scal.
Yep.
And Scal is all...
My brother.
Then I really want them to go with Cedric Maxwell.
Max is on the radio. I mean, the
But
promotion.
It'll never happen.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
I mean, Gosher just got one from Bruins Radio, then he got the Vegas Knights TV.
The Knights show?
Yeah, the TV.
Yeah, so we could promote Max, but I just know they'll go with Scal. And I know you like Scal because... LB says you look like him.
Well, I do look like him.
Well, all right.
See the picture. You can go to my Instagram at @dy93.
Scal was kind of a dick to me.
Yeah, well,
when I was with
he knows you frown upon the ginger people.
When I was with Barstool, we tried to make a video with him.
Yeah,
it was just some pop and shot thing, and it never would have got on because I was far too good at basketball. It wasn't like ping pong. I was pretty decent, but Scal was like all the Comcast people were kind of dicks because it was before Barstool was a thing.
Right.
I mean, they were a thing, but it wasn't what it is now.
They're better than you.
Yeah, so they were like, oh, these internet guys trying to make a video. It's like, hey, we're doing you a favor. You think Gary Tangway could get on Barstool?
Yeah.
I don't think so, baby. I love Tanger. I miss Tanger.
I love Tanger, too.
How could you not? Yeah. I don't mean to take digs at him, but guy's not getting on Barstool anytime soon.
If I walk
into Comcast, they should open the fucking doors.
One of my favorite moments... working for the Hillman Show,
yep.
It was when Gary Tangway bursted in the studio to tell us about his new play he's got on Hulu.
I miss him. I miss him. I miss him. I miss seeing him around here.
Right.
Because, you know, I show up to do the podcast in just basketball shorts and a t-shirt. The only man, everyone else is in, you know, suits or nice dress pants and a collared shirt. The only man who was with me, my brother in arms, Gary Tangway, wearing flip-flops, basketball shorts, hair askew.
Have you seen Dickerson when he's around here?
No.
I thought it was a homeless man.
Really?
My God.
He's gotten fatter, too.
Oh, my God. He is a slob.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was Michael Moore walking through the
Jesus
hallways.
Jesus Christ. He's not that big, is he?
I mean, I think I heard the clip on KNC when I was in the bathroom, because they play the shows over in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I think Kirk asked him, like, did your wife actually let you leave the house like that? Because he looked like he had beer cheese dried up on his shirt.
Jesus and it was Christ. I know he deals with depression and all that shit,
but
which
it was,
believe me, I understand.
Yeah, it was...
But, Jesus. Because Dickerson used to be like I'm not a thin, thin guy, but like... You wouldn't be outraged when he was TV ready, at least back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
poor guy.
Some people say TV subtracts 10 pounds. Some people say it adds. Yeah. I mean, but maybe radio station. Maybe radio station hallways add like 30.
I'll have to come take a look at him.
Yeah,
I'll just stand in the hallway.
Just come and examine him.
Yeah, I'm just coming to look at you, Dickerson. All right, I got what I needed.
Yep.
Let's see. The other booth. One of the other booths I want to get to. Well, I guess since we talked about Tommy, we'll stay local and go. Your boy Johnny Gomes.
Oh yeah.
I said a few weeks ago that I like Johnny Gomes on the broadcast.
You want to take that back?
There's something about him I liked.
You want to take it back, don't you?
I do a little bit.
Retraction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is.
Didn't you have the feeling the last couple of nights he was getting real close to doing something like that?
Yeah, he was hitting the ball real hard. His outs were loud. We call them loud outs. He had a nice line
drive
earlier on in the game.
Johnny, what do you call outs that are loud?
The Those are the barrels, barrels, and that was a big boy barrel right there.
Quiet! Those are loud outs. We call them loud. Those are outs that are loud. We call them loud outs here.
Here's that righty-righty changeup you're seeing more often.
I don't know if you guys ever played in the big leagues, but I did. So here's some insight. So do you think that Johnny Gomes, because he doesn't seem like a dick, so do you think that he talks down to people like that all the time, or do you think he's in the mindset of, I'm on TV, so I need to explain things?
Yes,
he just over-explains everything.
Yeah.
What's the clip? Do you have the clip that you played me before about the 500 batting
average? 356 batting average. This situation right here, runner in scoring position, two outs. Mookie Betts comes in with an outstanding 571 batting average. That's over 50% of the time he's driving that runner on or getting on with a knock himself.
517.
Very good.
Over 50%. Now, I didn't know that.
Some of us don't like to do math, Mike.
I didn't equate.
And Johnny is here to help.
That was 51.7%. I wasn't smart enough to know that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's got to be that he's never done TV.
Right.
Until the last 2 years. Now, here's what worries me. When he did the A's games and the Angels games out on the West Coast, I said, okay, Johnny Gomes lives on the West Coast. So that's, no one wanted to travel. Eckersley doesn't like traveling. Remy's sick or whatever his condition is. He doesn't want to travel.
Right.
So they have Johnny Gomes in for the West Coast games. I understood that. Now they fly him in, put him up. And from experience, I can tell you, some of these, I won't say which ones, but some of these media companies are cheap. So they don't like flying guys in and putting them up for no reason. Fly the guy in.
I think all.
Pay for his hotel. A few of them might be. So they bear no expense to bring this guy in. That must mean they like him, right?
Yeah.
So that what worries me is when Remy is finally done, whenever that is, just like I was talking about Tommy, I don't want Scal to be the replacement. Is Johnny Gomes?
I hope not.
The guy that's going to replace Remy?
I don't know if maybe they have a deal where, the Red Sox already made their West Coast trip out to Oakland anyway, and the Angels, I think they still have to go to Seattle. But
they have to do so many games.
Yeah, but maybe they each have a game cap or whatever, and they're just getting them out of the way now while the Celtics are on, and people might not be paying attention.
Speaking of that, I had a tweet last night. The most underrated Twitter account in America, BlindMike_. I get no goddamn respect on there. But I tweeted about, the Celtics and Patriots have overtaken the Red Sox. They need ratings. We need ratings, boys. We're not getting enough tension in this town. What do we do? Quick! Someone get Tom Werner and some lady in the booth.
Yeah. Well, in fairness to the girl, she just won the contest for Nesson, so...
Sure, that's great for her. And I'm sure she made a great documentary. Is that what she made?
Yeah, they showed the...
I'm sure it was...
During the commercial, We Are Red Sox Nation or whatever.
It was on Nesson, so I'm sure it was awful. But I'm sure she did a great job for what... With whatever restrictions were put on her. I'm sure she did fine. That doesn't mean I want to listen to her during a game.
Right.
Or anyone that made a documentary.
I mean, it's her, 5 minutes of fame.
I guess.
It's the fourth inning of a Wednesday night game in June. Give it to her.
My biggest problem is Tom Werner.
I don't really know why he was there. I guess he oversees the project of Nesson's next producer.
He loves getting his fat fucking mug on the screen.
Well, wouldn't you if you had money and owned part of the Red Sox?
I don't know if I would.
I bet you would.
No,
you're a whore.
I am. You know what? You're right. Because I was about to say, but I'm entertaining.
And are you?
And I realize that's probably what
Tom
Werner thinks.
I'm laughing at you.
I realize that's probably what Tom Werner thinks too.
Yeah.
Maybe now, Tom Werner couldn't do the only unfiltered media podcast in America.
I want to have him on?
No, not really. I'd have him on. I'd have him on to ask him if. He has any interest in enabling any more serial rapists. But I don't think he'd want to come on to answer those type of questions.
Probably not.
No. It's just weird to me. Just any in-game interviews at all, even baseball-related, whatever, they're all shit. Have they ever been good? Even, I don't know if you remember this, a few years ago, you remember Musburger and Herb Street, when they were doing college football, had Eminem in the booth, and it was just weird.
Oh, yeah, wasn't M like... Looked like he was drugged out or something.
Yeah,
I don't think he was because he's sober.
Yeah, he might not, but he was just he didn't want to be there, really.
Right.
It was weird. So Eminem, maybe my favorite artist of all time. Interesting guy. he was a bore if you have him in game.
Right, because you got to try to
place.
Yeah, because you got to try to have him go with the flow of the action of the game, so they can still call the game, because that's, you know, why they're there.
Imagine. Know. Imagine Dave O'Brien trying to talk to Eminem during Red Sox game. Now that I'd like to watch.
Slim.
That I'd like to watch. Slim. Slim Shady. That's more of a Neverett, but yeah. But
O'Brien's got that whistle. It's bad.
Yeah, I can't do it. It's so bad that I can't even do it. And I never noticed it until Jim Murray pointed it out.
Oh yeah.
And after that, I can't stop noticing it now.
Yeah.
Nesson, I don't know what their deal is, but I'm begging you. Don't go with Johnny Gomes, or at least straighten him out and say, "We don't need to be told that 517 is over 50%. Everyone knows that,
right?
But I don't know. Maybe it will become. Here's the other thing, and I've said this of. I'm about to. This is a nice transition into the new Monday Night Football booth. I think the biggest problem with what ESPN does is these broadcast teams. The reason a lot of people like them or hate them or are comfortable with them, well. Is because of that exact reason. Over time, you get comfortable. You are now kind of just used to hearing Joe Buck do it. Like, the hatred for Joe Buck isn't as much as I used to hear. And I don't think that's because he's gotten better. Or even, it's not even because people like him more.
I don't know. Wait until if we get a Red Sox-Yankees playoff series. That might come back.
Yeah, you might be right about that. Although, he only does the World Series now, doesn't he? Does he do the... He doesn't do the division series.
He does one of the... Oh, that's right. Fox only has one of the LCSs.
Yeah.
So
he might not even do it.
Right.
But point being, Joe Buck is kind of the voice... Sad to say, but Joe Buck has become the voice of America now. He does every third Super Bowl.
Yep.
Every World Series.
Right.
You know, regular season football, regular season baseball.
Yep.
He's the guy. He's the play-by-play guy now. So...
I mean, is he the number, when you think play-by-play guy, is he the number one that comes to mind?
Well, my favorite ever is Al Michaels.
Same here.
It's not even close, really.
Yeah, and I prefer Nance over Buck, too.
But you know who was great on Sunday Night Baseball, which he got fired because he was tied to Joe Morgan might have been the worst person at his job in any field ever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Joe Morgan might have been the worst. Any job in America, take who is your worst employee, put him up against Joe Morgan. It's a competition.
I mean, there's quite a few at ESPN that could, in the baseball department, but, you know, Steve Phillips,
but
Harold Reynolds.
But Steve Phillips was good. They were just... Hey,
pervs.
They were just pervs, yeah. Now, hey, if we want to talk about getting handsy, that's a different issue.
Jess Mendoza.
That you can't do either. Jess Mendoza is very bad. I would put Jess Mendoza above Joe Morgan. How's that for equality?
You know, the thing the thing with Joe Morgan, I don't know, him and John Miller together, it sounds like when I hear their voice, I just automatically think, you know, Sunday nights growing up watching.
That's the point I'm making.
Baseball.
And I thought John Miller had a very good voice.
I think he still does the Giants
right.
on the radio.
I think John Miller's great. And if they just left John Miller in there, I don't think they would have gone through this every year. It's a new broadcast.
Well, I think he got sick, too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that makes a little more sense, because I always wondered about that.
Yeah, he is.
Because I figured he just got let go because they didn't want him
anymore. No, I think he got
Morgan
sick
anymore.
At one point. He wasn't traveling, so
well,
he didn't want to do all
get
the travel.
Better, old friend.
Yeah.
I realize it was 10 years ago, but
yeah,
I hope you're doing well.
I mean, anything's better than... the only good thing about Aaron Boone being a manager is that there's
and
no
he's
more...
he's not announcing anymore.
Stupid freaking... And next week, Aaron Boone's going to imitate Ryan Howard up at the plate.
It's weird, yeah, boondoggle, which made no sense. The title of it made no sense. That's what ESPN did, is they came up with boondoggle, which was him imitating batting stances. That made no sense. And the Mendoza line, which is just Mendoza interviewing players. It's like, hey, let's come up with a pun,
and then
not apply the meaning of that at all.
Doesn't the Mendoza line mean average?
It's like less than, it's like below 200, so it's really bad.
Oh, well, that does make sense.
Well, it makes sense for yes, ironically, it makes sense. I don't think they were going for that, though. But so what I think ESPN's problem is now with the Monday Night Football booth is they just keep turning it over every year. And I realize half of it, this year they had no choice with John Gruden.
Right.
But they just keep looking at it and saying, well, maybe if we change the announcers, the ratings will get better.
No.
No, Sean McDonough was not the problem with the ratings. If anything, Sean McDonough kind of criticizing the refs and criticizing the league, that added to people's enjoyment of the games.
Yeah.
So getting rid of Sean McDonough was a mistake in my book, but it doesn't really matter. The same amount of people are going to watch Monday Night Football that would have anyways. But now, if you haven't heard, the new Monday Night Football booth is Joe Tessitore, who I guess did college football. It's just another yucker, another Dave O'Brien, another guy that was doing, you know, basketball and football for them, who's got a good voice but no personality. Jason Witten, the newly retired Jason Witten.
Right.
I guess they figured Tony Romo did such a great job. Let's just get any cowboy. Is there anyone from the 2000s Cowboys available? Jason Witten, you're in.
Well, Des Bryant's available.
For now. I think he's coming to the Patriots.
You
heard it here first. A new Blind Mike exclusive.
Yeah, let's add another.
Des Bryant's a Patriot. Baker Mayfield's a Patriot. J.D. Martinez is going to be a bust. And
you're doing good on that one. Real good on that one.
So Jason Witten, who I've never heard, I don't think I've ever heard him speak.
Well, we'll find out. I'm sure we'll be talking about it plenty.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Unless he's like, you know, just average, and then there's no reason to talk about it at all.
I think that's all he will be. He'll be fine. He won't.
Is he the actual second Mike, like the color commentator, or is he like the third guy?
No, Jason Witten is the second guy. The third guy, which is, it's weird. So they're Booger McFarlane.
Oh, good.
Of Get Up. You may know him from the very popular show Get Up on ESPN. But Booger McFarlane is the third man, but he's on the sideline like Tony Siragusa was.
Booger and I.
Yes. Thank you, Mike. But he's the third guy. Like, so it's like, remember when Cal Ripken, when they were doing the playoff games at Fenway, and they had Ron Darling and Ernie Johnson in the booth?
Yep.
And Cal Ripken was also, quote unquote, in the booth, but they'd put him in like center field.
Right, or
for some ungodly reason.
Or they do that on ESPN with like Doug Glanville. You'd be sitting on the bud deck.
Didn't make any fucking sense. Right. It made no ungodly sense. Hey, here's what it looks like from the outfield to just me.
I'm getting the fans' view.
You could put a camera out there. We don't need Cal Ripken sitting out there. So I guess that's what they're doing with Booger McFarlane. They're putting him on the field, but he's going to be an equal voice. So he and Jason Witten will supposedly talk the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be on the field, and then Lisa Salters is doing sideline reporting. Very weird. What they need to do, and I've said this every time we talk play-by-play, throw my idea in there, baby. Bill Burr, Nick DiPaolo, Lenny Clark, whoever you want, throw them in a booth. Alternative option online. That's what gets at. Gases and seats, baby. The Blind Mike experience is what we'll call it. That's what we'll call it. How's that for a name? You think that'll draw some eyeballs?
Yeah. I don't know, to watch something starting off with blind.
Blind Mike?
Yeah.
Mike experience.
I'm sure that
it's just me stumbling.
Yeah.
I legitimately almost broke this microphone. That was good.
Good. We're all begging you to.
Now that's hurtful. Why do you try and hurt me?
Because.
So ESPN. I wanted to stay on ESPN for a minute. Because they're making a 10-part documentary series.
Right, with Netflix.
With Netflix.
Yeah, you know, we're launching our own streaming service, but no, we're going to partner with Netflix.
It's just dumb idea after dumb idea. First of all, yeah, the partnering with Netflix thing is dumb, because I assume it's going to be on Netflix. Otherwise, why would Netflix be a part of it?
Yep, because no one wants to pay for their services.
Right. They want people to watch this.
Yeah.
They're spending a lot of money on it, and they want people. Well, and the reason they're spending a lot of money on it is because Michael Jordan's involved.
Yeah.
I am guaranteeing you that will make this a shitty documentary. The documentary I'd much rather see is the one Michael Jordan doesn't want to be a part of. The one that talks about Michael Jordan's gambling and him cheating on his wife and why he left basketball, what the real reason he left basketball for 2 years. And, you know,
why he had to get saved by and bailed out by Bill Murray in Space Jam.
Yes. Hard hitting questions like that is what I want. And, you know, a guy with the squeaky clean image that Michael Jordan tries to put out there isn't going to let that shit out. He's not going to talk about, you know, the conspiracy theories behind his dad dying and all that type of shit, which that's the stuff that gets people watching documentaries. It might be hard to talk about, I understand.
But if you want people maybe Michael's changed and he's an open book.
If he stepped down from Jordan and had nothing to do with Nike anymore, then I'd say, okay, maybe. But the guy still wants to sell sneakers. And he's quoted famously as saying, Republicans buy sneakers too. So he doesn't want anyone thinking poorly of him. He doesn't want that image tainted at all.
Imagine if the documentary was produced by Barkley.
That'd be great.
Who hates Jordan.
That'd be great. That's what I want. My boy Barkley.
Just terrible.
This is 3 weeks in a row we have to talk about Barkley now?
I know, and I enjoy it. I mean, it's, I like it. I mean, so I'm sure by now.
Barkley always soothes me, as I've said.
Everybody's heard the whole Laurel Yanny thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've only heard
of Laurel.
I've only heard Laurel.
Because you're a sane man, Dan. You're a sane human being. You're
is that
not
why?
A liar.
Laurel.
Laurel. Obviously.
Laurel. Laurel.
It
Laurel.
Clear as day.
Yeah. I hear Laurel.
Everyone does.
Right.
You're lying if you say otherwise.
I guess that there's something with the pitches that you could hear Yanny.
No, no. You played it for me earlier.
Yeah.
You played the one where I heard Yanny.
Right.
They're saying something different. They're saying Yanny.
Yanny.
Yeah.
Yanny.
I guess that's
they're
like
saying something
the,
different
taking
that
the
one.
Pitch. Down.
No, bullshit.
But anyways,
bullshit.
But anyway, see, this has sparked the argument.
Yeah.
Anyway, right? But good thing for us,
right?
Sir Charles was there to put an end to the debate.
Get on the hip trends on that TNT program.
Laurel.
What did you hear,
I heard
Chuck?
Laurel.
I thought I heard donut. I'm telling you the truth.
No, you heard
I swear to you, I thought I heard donut. I'm not joking.
You hungry?
No, dude, I swear.
No,
let me listen one more time.
No, here, it is.
Here we go.
Laurel.
Y'all don't hear donut?
Laurel.
I have to say, Chuck doesn't seem like a phony to me. I think he's putting us on. I think he's trying to be wacky and silly there.
I don't know. I think Chuck probably hears donut.
You
a
can't
lot
hear. You can't possibly hear donut. There.
I don't know, Mike.
Listen, I can speak for fat fucks out there. I don't hear donut.
Speaking of donuts, by the way,
yeah.
I don't know if you've seen Dunkin's whole royal wedding donut because it
you
is.
You presented this to me earlier.
So Dunkin' in Quincy, anyway, has the. I don't know if all of them do or if it's just the one in Quincy, the original one,
mm-hmm.
has the royal wedding donut. For the royal wedding this
disgusting.
Weekend, which I know you're planning on tuning in all
I'm
day Saturday.
Up nice and early, of course.
Yeah, to tune into that. But it is the most atrocious thing I've ever eaten, any donut
well,
I've ever had.
Tell
it's
the folks.
Awful.
Explain to the folks.
It's like
it's key ingredients.
It's like a chocolate and jelly mixture, and it is
just
horrible.
Horrendous.
Yeah, it's
because either essentially you either like a jelly donut or you like a chocolate donut.
Right.
And never that twain shall meet or whatever.
No,
that
no. Like
is.
I was expecting it like to be like a Boston cream middle or something like that.
Ugh.
Like that'd be
jelly and
better.
Chocolate.
But it literally felt like I took like a syringe full of sugar and just injected it into my gums.
Blech.
When I had it was just my tongue was spazzing out. And
that's
yeah.
the type of thing that like if you made me eat it, I would gag. Like
yeah.
I wouldn't be able to.
It
eat
was,
it. I wouldn't be able to swallow it.
It was, yeah, it was bad.
I feel like there could be a lot of good clips cut out of this segment.
Yeah.
But anyways, was there anything else I wanted to get to? Oh, I guess real quick. I've been meaning to mention this the last few weeks. So one of these is very dated, but one of these is in season. We talked about the Jordan documentary.
Yeah.
I wanted a couple other TV suggestions that I could give you guys. If you're fans of this program, that means you like shitty broadcasting and the world surrounding it. So if you're not watching the show Brockmire.
I have to start this. I've seen the previews.
You're making a mistake if you're not watching it.
Yeah, it looks hysterical.
Awesome. Start from season one. It's on IFC, so I have no reason to promote it other than I just love the show.
So how can we stream it?
I guess IFC. I don't know if it's on Hulu. It's not on Netflix.
Right.
Crackle? But if you have cable,
yep.
just IFC and you
on
can
demand.
Get on the IFC app and all that shit. But it's hilarious if you don't know what it's about. It's a Funny or Die character that Hank Azaria came up with.
Yeah.
And it's this guy, Jim Brockmire. Who was a very polished broadcaster, had a lot of old school phrases, and he'd tie in Godfather references and things like that.
Oh, that
very,
was, yep.
A very old school type of broadcaster.
I'm into it.
But one day he came home. Oh, and he'd end every broadcast with Lucy, put on the stove because Daddy's coming home for supper, or whatever the fuck he would say to his wife, a message to his wife. And then one day he came home and. To find his wife in like a gangbang with
oh.
So it was like this wholesome guy who discovered that and he gets drunk on his next broadcast and just goes off and talks about it in the ninth inning. So his career is ruined. And the show is about that guy coming back from that incident trying to get back into broadcasting.
Yeah.
It's hysterical. And I talked about Joe Buck earlier. It will. Joe Buck haters, if you enjoy hating Joe Buck, tread lightly, because the end of season one will kind of make you like Joe Buck. He's in a few episodes, and he's actually pretty. He's surprisingly funny, and not a terrible actor. If you hate Joe Buck and you enjoy that lifestyle, just proceed with caution. But it's a really funny show. And the other one I wanted to recommend. This is like old now. It's been out for a while, but I don't think a ton of people watched it. Is the Paterno movie on HBO. Did you see that?
Oh, with Pacino?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pacino was, other than you know, talking like this when Joe Paterno has a very, you know, a lighthearted, you know, we went out there, played our best defense today. He's kind of a, he's more of a Joe Pesci type. And Pacino's voice has been riddled with cigarettes and whiskey for 60 years. So other than that, than having a much deeper voice than Paterno, he played a very good Joe Paterno. He was very good. And the movie, the reason I brought it up on this show is because I always worry about, especially in films, them kind of soft-selling subjects like that. Even though Sandusky's a little different because he's unanimously a villain to everyone.
Right.
You know, there's no one other than John Ziegler. There's no one that reveres Sandusky as a good guy. But even so, I was worried that maybe they wouldn't necessarily hit on the actual child molestation as hard as... Because, you know, because people don't like to see that shit, I guess. They did. They did. A lot of the descriptions were very graphic. And their depiction of Paterno talking about it felt very real to me. They didn't paint Paterno as this monster was like who was like, who cares? They painted Paterno very much how it probably happened, where he was kind of just a naive old man who wanted to focus on football. And Pacino does a great job of portraying him. So those are two things to check out. Brockmire and Paterno. That's your homework for this week, kids. Check out those two things and come back and see me. And that's pretty much it for this week. What do we have for time?
We're good.
We're good. So thanks again to my boy, DJ Ronnie Ruff. And that's pretty much it. Follow me at blindmike_ on Twitter. Dan Watkins, the man who keeps this show a-running.
Yep.
At DWaddy93 on Twitter.
If it wasn't for me, you'd be in here just pushing buttons, thinking you're recording yourself.
And yes, literally I did that. Paul Chartier of the Midday Show showed me how to use this shit once. And I literally sat here, like he left the room and was in another studio. So I sat here pushing buttons an appropriate amount of time to make him think I knew what I was doing, and then just left. And then I was, all right, thanks, Paul. I think I got what I needed. See you later.
Yep.
And it was just, you know, I can't see. What do you want from me? And we've been getting, you know, some reviews. We've been getting more or less a review a week. So let's keep that trend going, folks. Let's really keep let's get two this week. That's what I'm plugging for.
Yeah.
As sad as that sounds, I'm begging you for two reviews. 5 stars and write whatever you want. How's that? Oh, we're on iTunes, WEI.com, the WEI app, and the radio.com app. And I will stop babbling now. See you later.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.